This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
And we'll start off the 5 o'clock hour with Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. The Mets play tonight against the Reds. You can see that game if you have Apple TV+. If you can't, I guess you can listen to it on the radio.
Ray Rowe.
We'll see exactly how that plays out. They finally get a win. I don't know if you guys talked about this earlier. That home run by Pete Alonso was unbelievable, Don. The strength of this guy. That's a hard ball to hit out. And I thought it was a fly ball to left center field that kept going, and it was gone. He's a beast.
Now, we did bring about earlier just the similarities to the 0-5 start, where in game 6 they were down 1-0. Smoltz had struck out like 15, 16 Mets, and it was a Beltran 2-run home run in the 8th that helped win Willie Randolph's first game. And I think they won 6 in a row after that, ended up finishing 4 games above .500, which I think the Mets would take this year. So with Mendoza's first win coming off of a home run from Alonso, and I thought Marte bunting over Beatty to set up the game-winning hit, was a nice win out of nowhere. It really was, because you figure, they're going to get no hit. And then they end up pulling off a nice win, and we see what they do against Cincinnati and see if they can build off of it.
Yankees lose 3-0 in their home opener, get shut out by several Blue Jay pitchers. First time the Yankees have been shut out in a home opener since the Red Sox did it in 1967. So you do the math, that's 33 plus 24, that's 57 years since the last time they've been shut out in a home opener. There was one thing that was interesting. We never got a chance to talk about it yesterday. Juan Soto, who is struggling since he got off to such a hot start in Houston, didn't play that great in Arizona and was 0 for 4 today. He had an interview with a Spanish language reporter where he said he would be very amenable to discussing a contract now. And then he came out today with these fancy custom spikes where it said Soto loves New York on it and had all these New York iconic places. Maybe he loves it here. Who knows? I still think with an agent like Scott Boras, I just don't think it's going to happen during the season. I mean, he could say whatever he likes, but the Yankees will say, okay, Scott, let's talk. And Scott's going to go, no, we'll wait. But Don said this yesterday, and it's always misappropriated because people don't get it. And I think it's even in our business as well. The agent works for you. You don't work for the agent. You tell the agent what you want, not what he wants. Now, I'm sure Scott, who I respect a lot, would like to get Juan Soto the biggest contract of all time. But if Juan Soto says, you know, I'm good, I want to stay here, he's still going to get him a lot of money. But he's not going to get him as much money, Don and Peter, that he would get him if he let him go out on the free agent market and let Steve Cohen get involved in the bidding.
See, he needs to be careful, Michael, okay? Because you don't want to come off like you're trolling.
Right.
All right, so this cut comes out about him saying that he'd be amenable to talking about a contract, and he's got the custom-made spikes, and his walk-up song is Empire State of Mind. Don't tease the fans. Are you in or are you out? You start doing things like that, and then you re-sign, well, then it's great. But now, because fans read into this stuff, and then if you turn around and you still go to the highest bidder and you don't come back, it's going to come across like you were trolling. So I think he believes, hey, I'm here, guys, I'm all in. But he also has to realize by doing that stuff, you're kind of intimating to people that you want to stay. And then if you don't, they're going to feel betrayed.
But if you don't, you're not here anyway. What do you care?
But it
you
is,
know what I mean?
But it does come across as trolling, and you don't want to have to do that. I guess maybe he doesn't care. Or maybe he's not intending to do that, but you know what you see what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
because everybody's feeding into that, like, oh, he's going to want to stay now. The fans don't deserve that. If you're going to play ball, play ball. If you're going to be free, like Judge handled it perfectly last year, and he was in a much different situation. He had been 2 years ago. He had been a Yankee for a long time, but maybe a little bit of a different story. But he never tipped his hand. He made it very clear he was going to test free agency. You know, don't put yourself in a corner here to make yourself look bad and make it like you're trolling the fans.
The Yankees were 6-1 on the road trip, which was phenomenal. Now they start this homestand, which is 3 against the Blue Jays and then 3 against the Marlins, who are the last team that's winless in Major League Baseball. They look awful. So this could be a nice homestand for them. But despite being 6-2, there are things that are somewhat worthy of examination. Soto has been ice cold since Houston. Judge, other than the two hits, which were big hits in Arizona, he has not done much damage. Stanton looks lost, 13 strikeouts and 24 at bats. So these are things that you have to look at. But the fact that you're 6-2, and that's not treading water when your big guys are still trying to find it. You know they're going to hit. You know Judge is going to hit. You know that Soto is going to hit. I'm not sure about Stanton. But, you know, we had a caller yesterday. It's time to get rid of Stanton. Well, get rid of him. So are you the guy who's going to pay him $100 million? But they're not locked into playing him every day. He's going to just be a wasted bench player. If he can't hit, if he doesn't start hitting, especially coming off a year where he hit 191, you know what? They'll just bench him, and they're not going to release him and pay him. They're just not. It's too much money. They took a long time before they decided to eat the money that was left on Aaron Hicks's contract. But this is way more money. So I just don't see them releasing him, and I don't think that you make a decision like that after 8 games. I mean, you got to hope that he finds it. But in terms of him playing every single day, not going to happen. They're not going to do it. They already sat him twice in 8 games, and they'll continue to do that because they've got options. They could play Grisham. They could DH Judge or DH Soto, or they could DH Austin Wells. There are other options if Stanton's not going to hit. So that's something to keep an eye on. And as I mentioned in the 4 o'clock hour, right after the game ended, the loss of Loaisiga is really big. That's like one of your high-leverage quality arms, one of the best pitchers out of the bullpen in baseball, but he can't stay healthy. He cannot stay healthy. Out of nowhere, he has a pretty serious flexor tendon injury and was immediately put on the 60-day IL, not the 15, which they could have done first. They put him on the 60. So they know he's not going to be around for quite a while now. Didn't pitch at all hardly last year. But keeping this guy healthy has been an impossibility. It's not through any fault of their own. I was talking to a baseball person today at the stadium, and he shrugged his shoulders. He said, people throw too hard. I think he counted out that there are 115 pitchers right now on the IL. He said it's going to continue to happen. As long as you continue to stress velocity, 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 the body can't handle it. You're going to get hurt. And I think that's what happens with Loaisiga. He throws so hard that the body just can't handle it. The body's built for a certain amount of stress and torque. And I think that a lot of pitchers just overdo it because they're taught to throw as hard as they can.
And they don't seem to have any interest in adjusting.
No. And you know what, though, Peter? Teams want them to throw hard. I think they look at a lot of pitchers as fungible. Just throw as hard as you can until you break. But it's going to turn around because batters can handle velocity now. And I think you're going to see pitchers go, you know what, maybe a little something off every now and then. Maybe not throw as hard as I possibly can. So a disappointing loss, 3-0. One thing I would notice, though, Soto was a love fest. When he went out to right field, it was like Reggie Jackson was out there. I mean, people were going nuts. The Dominican flag, they were flapping out there in right field. And, I mean, such love from the bleacher creatures. It was kind of amazing stuff. So the fans are doing their part.
Yeah, because Yankee fans get it, right? I think at least early on. Now, he's played well, so it's helped. It would be interesting how well he'd be received if he got off to a Stanton and Toronto start from a few years ago.
Right.
But I think they understand that if they show him love, it might convince him to try to stay. I think it's futile. I think he wants to test free agency. But, you know, show him the love. Make it very comfortable for him to want to stay here.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Austin in Brooklyn. Austin, talk to us, my friend.
What's going on? Hey, Michael, this is Gil. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
This is Gil.
I'm the guy that tweeted out that the chicken tenders, they were good, but not weep-worthy. I was sitting right by you, Michael. I was hoping to get your attention, but I didn't. But awesome day at Yankee Stadium. I loved it. It was a pain to get in. Parking and walking in the stadium took a while, but it was awesome to get back in the stadium. Love to see you guys. And fun fact, I saw you guys about 5 years ago at the Brooklyn Brewery. I didn't have any tickets, and okay. I said the word to the security guard. I said, oh, man, I want to see Don LaGreca. And the security guard said, oh, Don, all right, you can come in. and we got in. So, Don, I thank you for that.
Wow, that's it.
See, that's what Don does for people. Now, what would the same thing have happened, Peter, if the guy, if he had said to the guard, I want to see Michael?
No, they said, well, who cares? Everyone wants to see Michael.
No, that's no. They would say, well, Michael doesn't really, like, want to, you know, interact with anybody.
Oh, you think people would spread that about you?
Maybe. Marcus Stroman, 6 shutout innings. Now, he gave up 3 runs in his first start, but they were all unearned. So 12 innings of not one earned run. He has always said that this was his dream to pitch, you know, a big game at Yankee Stadium. And he was asked moments ago on the podium, was today everything you dreamt of?
Yeah, for sure. Didn't eat all last night, this morning. Just was very, very anxious, excited to kind of get to the park. I'm just very grateful and thankful for the home crowd. The energy when I walked out there, you know, 35, 40 minutes before the game was incredible. That's something that I love, you know. I feel like I'm able to kind of pick myself up in those moments. And just to feel the love from the crowd, that meant everything for me.
Now, Aaron Boone remarked about Stroman's first 2 outings as a Yankee.
Yeah, he's been terrific. I mean, he's right in line with, you know, how he's been really the last couple months and building up. Execution's been excellent. Command, excellent. You know, where he wants to be, the misses he wants, staying off the barrel, big pitches in some spots where he's the occasion where he's had to make one, but now, really sharp.
Aaron Judge said that he felt the earthquake that all of us felt this morning and asked what he was doing and where he was. He said, he laughed. He said, I don't want to say. So that's an interesting thing to think about. But Don, you actually felt it while you were doing kickboxing, right?
Yeah. I was in a sit up position. So I was on the floor and it kind of rippled. Like I felt the tile underneath me come up. Like they got
how
the
close
mat.
Were you to the epicenter?
30 minutes.
Okay.
Just not far at all. And The scary thing about it is that, you know, when you feel a rumble, you think, all right, a truck is going by. Kickboxing's on a main street, so it's not crazy to see. But it felt like it didn't end. Like 25 seconds it was timed out. That's longer than a truck going by.
Did you get nervous?
Before you can even realize what was going on, it was over. But it was more anxious because I kept thinking about the 89 earthquake, Michael, and of course you were there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can attest to this. All right, you're fine, but you have no idea what's going on in the outside world. Like things started to trickle in, and the bridge collapsed and all. Like so, you once it is established pretty quickly, because phones started lighting up, and we evacuated the kickbox and went onto the street. And I ran to the car and I called Nancy, and the first the phone didn't connect right away. So the kids. School is just like about a mile down the road, and I went right to their school because I just wanted to make sure everything was okay, because that's how much it moved. Like even though I didn't feel like any danger in that moment, I didn't know where this was emanating from, what the epicenter was. So it was that kind of a rumble where there was no question by the time it was established that this was an earthquake. So it was kind of disconcerting, and everybody's fine, everything was all right, but I never felt anything like that before. 2011, I was at 2 Penn Plaza when I kind of felt a little bit of a rumble, a little bit of a sway to the building. But this was 25 seconds of a real legitimate rumble. And it was disconcerting, to say the least. Did you feel anything?
Well, I was in the broadcast level, and there were a lot of people that were on the field. I didn't really feel it, I'm being honest with you. Then I talked to people that were on the field, and Aaron Boone said he felt like it was the music first because the ground was rumbling. But then he realized it was an earthquake. But it wasn't like it was shaking terribly. And around the stadium, it felt like when they have those big hand carts that they're rolling down. You know,
right.
And so it makes a rumble. So you think initially it's that. The only time that I got any kind of, you know, feeling that there was it was big was my phone lit up, and it was Jody, and she said earthquake. And you know, you've seen our house. It's kind of a stone house, kind of like the Flintstones house. And she
very
said
much like that.
It was the house was swaying from side to side. So that was really, really scary stuff. And
Natalie
then, you
felt
know, I heard
it.
Don that the floor was rippling, so it's frightening, man.
Natalie felt it a bit in the hotel here in Philly. I did not. I was not in the room at the time, but she was in bed and said she felt it.
Yeah, I hope everybody's okay. I haven't heard of any injuries or anything like that, but that just it's awful.
All is good. I had the news on, and they echoed your sentiments, Michael, because they had people, obviously, Yankee Stadium for a home opener, and it seemed like for every person that felt something, there was another person that didn't feel anything. So I guess it really depended on where you were or what was going on, but where we were in Jersey, it was, like, legitimately felt, but no damage, and obviously nobody hurt. And there was because my sister-in-law is even, like, right almost on top of the epicenter. And about an hour after, she felt like another bit of a rumble. So it feels like there's already been the aftershocks.
Yeah, there were some aftershocks. Yeah. Governor Hochul said that as well.
Don really leans into the e-sound in epicenter.
I don't know. Maybe I'm like 30 minutes from the epicenter.
Maybe he's talking like an EpiPen.
Yeah.
Should I say epicenter? Is epicenter better?
Listen, Don, I don't correct you. This guy does, not me.
We really do dissect language on this show like no other.
It's unbelievable.
It really is interesting. And I wore my Rampo College because it was the Rampo fault that caused this, so I wanted to have that symmetry.
A friend of mine who's a cameraman at the stadium came up to me and said, you know, my son is a pitcher for Ramapo College.
Oh, really?
He said, I know it's a big deal because Don went there. So I
went
did
to
a
Rampo.
Video
Look at
team.
Me. Mark Leiter pitched for Ramapo for a little time.
Really?
Yeah.
And you never made the Ramapo team, right?
I was cut. I was cut my freshman year. I was recruited and cut.
That's not right.
But
did you throw hard or are you a slop guy?
No, I was slop. I made all kinds of things work. But they were very impressed. I had a lot of movement on my fastball. But I did not throw hard. I was probably at my height, I was probably, you know, low to mid 80s, like in my prime.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ryan in Arizona. Rai, what's up, baby?
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call. I have two questions if you guys have time.
Go for it, baby.
The first one is about the Yankees. And you guys were talking a lot today about Stroman and Juan Soto, and about kind of like their swagger and stuff, and even Verdugo. I'm getting kind of like a 09 vibe with like Swisher and Burnett and CC Sabathia, where almost like they changed the clubhouse. Obviously, I'm not in the clubhouse, I can't tell. But I'm just getting a vibe that they're like, they're loose. They're hitting better. They're just, seem like they're having a lot more fun out there.
Well, there is a method to their madness. I mean, the front office is very aware of that. That's one of the reasons they brought in Swisher and CC, because they wanted to change what is a very buttoned up situation in the clubhouse. So, but that stuff only works as long as you perform. So Marcus Stroman has been brilliant. Soto has struggled the last four games, but he was brilliant in Houston. All of that stuff works if they perform. I think Ryan's done. That was it.
He's over and out.
Let's go to Donnie in Queens. Donnie?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I wanted to mention something about the lineup construction, but before I do quickly, I saw something on Twitter just now that the Yankees are offering people to come in and get the star insurance patch on their jerseys for an additional $15. That just seemed like a new low for Yankees level for me. I don't know if you guys found that distasteful, but I sort of did.
Well, I mean, I saw that, so I mean, I'll operate on the fact that I saw it just like you did. So I'm not sure whether or not it's absolutely true, but you know, why would you find it distasteful? I mean, what person in their right mind would pay $15 to have an advertising patch put on their uniform? I mean, you could throw it out there. It's not like the Yankees are saying, you've got to put this on uniform. It's got to cost you $15. If they're giving you the option so you have the exact jersey that the players are wearing, okay. But why would anybody do it?
Because I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
There. When I was a jersey guy, when I was a kid, I wanted a Vancouver Canuck jersey. And this was the mid-90s. They had a patch for a charity. I think it was Get 2 points. Their owner, who died of cancer, used to say Get 2 for 2 points for a win. And they had that patch. It was a very difficult thing to get. But I wanted the jersey to be authentic. I wanted to have the same jersey that they wore. So I hunted it down, and I was able to find it. There are some people that just want the exact thing. They want
that's
that
on
patch.
Them. Don't get the patch. If you think it's a ridiculous thing, right. Don't get it.
Yeah, don't get it. But I could see people getting it. I mean, you remember in 86, Spider Lockhart died, the former Giant, and they had a patch honoring him.
43, right?
Yeah, and I remember the Giants wanted to keep that sacrosanct. They didn't want anybody to get it. And if you remember, go look it up. You could probably, Greek will find it. When Lawrence Taylor was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, they actually airbrushed that out. They didn't want anybody to be able to copy it. Like, so you can imagine some sick Giant fan that wanted to try to get the jersey with that patch on it. So you might get a sick Yankee fan that wants the authentic thing. Yep. And we'll pay extra to get the advertising.
Okay, I get that. But, you know, the reaction that I'm seeing on Twitter is that people are angry. How could the Yankees do it? Don't get the patch.
Because the sick fan that wants it.
Well, then they can't have a real jersey.
Right. Then they feel like they're being taken advantage of because they want the real jersey. I guess that's what the logic.
Okay, then don't get the patch. Well, I can't. I don't know. So the Yankees should put the patch on for free?
Yeah, I guess that's what they're asking for, yes. They're asking for the Yankees to donate. Right, and I can get the Yankees saying why. It costs us money to put it on there, so it should cost you money.
It's a strange hill to die on, let me tell you. Those are Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers. Their wedding band event is now through the 7th. Visit londonjewelers.com for more information. 1-800-919-3776, that's the number. Hey, I told you that my home needed a refresh, so I chose the painting professionals at CertaPro Painters. They're working now, and CertaPro Painters treats my home with as much care as I would if I was doing the painting. They've protected my floors and the carpeting on my staircase. Everything is clean and handled with care. They're unbelievable, including the scaffolding that they needed to use to reach everything. So it's in the middle of the hallway, and if you go all the way up, I mean, you've got to build scaffolding, and they did it beautifully. And nothing was disturbed. The precision and attention to detail as they paint every shingle, spindle of the staircase is absolutely exceptional. They take pride in what they do, and you could trust them to get the job done and done right. This is the time to do the home painting project that you've been putting off. Why wait? From now through April 30th, CertaPro Painters is running its spring sales event. Special offers are available at participating locations. Each CertaPro Painters business is independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They are a local business that you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at CertaPro.com. That's Certa with a C when choosing a painting professional.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go back to the phones. Dave in Queens. Dave?
Hey, guys, thanks. Hey, Michael, you made a mistake before. You said Nelly Fox hit the home run in that 82 All-Star game for the old-timers. Luke Appling.
You're right. I stand corrected. Yeah. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, he was 75. I remember he was born in 07, but I was like 10 when it happened, and I went right to the baseball encyclopedia, looked up Luke Appling, and I never forgot the name since. Nelly Fox is a Hall of Famer. but Luke Appling will live on forever. And I wanted to tell you, and maybe all the young guys out there can look that up on YouTube, because that'll never be done. 75-year-old veteran hitting a home run, so that's up there with Lou Gehrig's record. Like, no one's going to do that again. And I love that clip on YouTube. I watch it a lot. And one more thing, Michael, Peter said before that Boone said that he's not imitating Torrey with the hat. And I just wanted to say, remember when he was on ESPN, Boone used to do the great Torrey imitation coming out to the pitcher. So he's definitely trolling it. He's definitely doing it. But it was cool. Like, I think it looked good on Boone, and maybe that's
tradition. I don't think he's doing, I mean, Peter, you checked it out with him by via text, right?
That's right.
And he said no. I don't think he was either. He's worn sunglasses before.
No. Yeah, but he's not trolling Torrey. He's imitating Torrey, and what makes it even cooler is he won't admit it.
No.
Yes.
I think he just doesn't realize that he did it.
No, because why is he wearing his hat differently? You can't tell me he's wearing the hat the same way he's normally worn it.
No, he's probably just had one of those moments where when you wear a cap and you feel like taking it off a little bit because you want to look your head to breathe.
I think I know him, he would be the kind of guy.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm being serious. Like, I'm complimenting him. I just think it's like part of the bit. Like, I'm going to do it, but don't admit it. It's like, no, I didn't notice it. No, I'm not doing that. But he is doing that. He's got to be doing that. Like you said, he did the imitation when he was working at ESPN. He's clearly wearing his hat differently. It's so unique how Joe wore his hat. Come on, Peter. You have to back me on
this. I'm just saying, I don't think he would have told me. I don't think he would have said no. I think he would have admitted it.
No, because now you can't be trusted.
Let's go to Conceited in West Philly.
Okay.
Conceited.
Sounds like
we've
got Orlovsky on.
Wow. That's a good. This is a good sound, Conceited. Let's go to Anthony in New Jersey. Anthony.
Yeah. Hi, guys. I just want to tune in, listen to you guys talk about that earthquake. Don, I work in North Jersey in Fairfield, and I'm one of the operations managers for a chemical company. Mm-hmm. We were installing new computer systems today, getting everybody trained, so everybody's in the warehouse. And that earthquake hit. I looked up and I started to see my drum racks in the warehouse start to rattle and move.
Oh,
there was
God.
Nothing scarier than that when you're surrounded by 2 million pounds of chemicals.
Oh, I can't imagine, man.
Out the top all over you.
So what did you do? Were you frozen or did you run out? What did you do?
I started grabbing my guys and yelling out and get out of the building. At first, we thought a plane hit the building from the municipal airport that's right there. Oh, and then after we didn't hear a secondary explosion, we kind of started to put it together that this might be an earthquake. We better just evacuate and get out as fast as we can.
It's so scary, man. It just is. I mean, everybody's on edge about everything these days, and I don't blame people. I'm glad I didn't feel the earthquake, because I mean, you know how I am. I would have freaked out.
You might have. God knows what you would have done.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good. Let's go to Big Joe in New Jersey. Big Joe.
Hey, is this Mike?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Mike. Listen. I watched the game today. I'm a diehard Yankee fan all my life. I'm going to be 85 years old soon. But, you know, I watched when Soto got up, and that umpire called that ball a strike, and I saw how it affected Soto. And I know it must have affected the way he got up for the next pitch, because I think he struck out. I know it bothered him a lot. I just wanted to ask you a question. Are they ever going to do the thing with the umpires, with the electronic, where they don't actually call the ball?
I think what they're going to do, Joe, before they go to that full-fledged, you know, robotic umpire, I think what they're going to do is they're going to do the challenge system, which they have in the minors, where if you don't like a call, you touch the top of your helmet, and it's looked at instantly. And it's either changed or upheld. And it shouldn't be that difficult. And, listen, Edwin, what was his name? Edwin Jimenez, second-year umpire. And we you know, we give a scouting report on yes on the umpires. We said he's pitcher-friendly. He the strike zone was way off for both teams. So you can't say that's why the Yankee lost. But I know Big Joe's right. Soto really knows his strike zone, and he was a little bit, you know, annoyed.
Yeah. But like you said, it happened, you know, both ways. I remember a Stanton at bat where it looked like he was struck out. The ball clearly was in the box, and they called it a ball. I thought it was kind of fair for both sides. Now, will the catcher have that same ability?
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, because I've only seen it done with the hitters. That's a great question. I'm not quite sure. So I'm watching the first half of the Knick game.
Sure.
Minding my own business. And they were down by 20 at some point early, and I just lost interest. I really did. They looked overmatched by the Kings. And then I ended up turning it off, and I went to bed early, although I didn't fall asleep till 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, dear God.
And maybe I'm still on West Coast time. And then I wake up, and I read all the stories. They actually played. That's a very big win for them, guys.
Yeah, we were mentioning it earlier that, just again, that's the determination of this team. They were down, what was it, 21 points.
Yeah, 21 points.
And that's not a bad Sacramento team that they beat. And with a second of back-to-backs tonight against Chicago, you know, you don't want it to spiral out of control. I think that win keeps them out of the play-in, which I think was very much up for grabs if they had lost that game. So another example where this team just won't go away.
Let's go to Jay in Long Beach. Jay.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I just been driving. I listen to you guys all the time, and you're killing me, Michael. I mean, little by little, I'm dying. I hear these guys call up. Hey, Mike, I love you. You guys are great. And I die. Everybody, please listen really closely. His name is Michael. His best friend is Mike, not him. I've never once heard Jody on the air call him Mike. It's the person he loves the most. His name is Michael.
I'm with you.
But Jay, you know what? That doesn't.
Not hearing you correct them anymore. I remember
because I,
forever.
Because I would never, Jay. I would never. The only reason that I even say my name is Michael K. is because my mom didn't like the word and didn't like the name Mike. That's it. So I mean, I'm never going to correct. If somebody likes me and says, "Hey, see, I like you, Mike," what kind of ass would I be to say, "By the way, that's Michael"?
I wanted it to become a thing back in the day. I wanted to be the one to correct them. But you're like, nah, let it go.
It's a really blurry line because
of course it is.
In one sense, like you don't like it though.
Well, I don't dislike it terribly. I mean, my name is Michael, which short is Mike. What's the big deal?
No, I guess you're right. I mean, people call people by a short version of their name, but I don't know. But if one doesn't like it, does it make them a jerk to tell people, "Hey, I actually go by blank"?
But the reason I say it is because you know, if you go by Mike and you want to throw a Michael out or a Mikey, but when you specifically stick to the one name like Michael, or you think anybody calls Eddie Murphy Ed?
Maybe
you can't call him Ed Murphy. That's a good point.
Does anybody call Billy Joel Bill or Hey William?
His initial stage name was Bill Martin.
Well, I mean,
not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. I think if you're
I think his
that
friends
up,
might call
reason.
Him Bill.
I mean, Mike Brown sure calls him Bill.
But that's because he likes to change the names of the
I got a tweet last night, Peter. That it was actually to you, but he added me as well.
Hmm.
This was 19 hours ago by a guy named Jay Markowitz. And he said, "Rosenberg Radio, I had to drive back and forth to upstate New York for business today, Peter, and I was listening to you guys and was going to call in to talk about the whole Drake May or Jaden Daniels debate for our beloved Commanders. Except that Michael K. is insufferable." First of all, Jay Markowitz, you really think the Mets are in the middle of a doubleheader, the Yankees just 6-1, the Knicks have a game that's huge, we're going to break down Jaden Daniels and Drake May for your beloved Commanders, and I'm insufferable? What did I do yesterday that was insufferable, Peter?
I you know, listen, he may have just think you're generally insufferable.
Yeah probably.
You were calling me Lint repeatedly yesterday. I mean,
you didn't come up with the last boss,
the final boss. And the final boss didn't even come up with the final boss. So, I mean, what could I do?
But three very good guests. I thought the guests were terrific yesterday.
I did think they were damn good. Maybe not the final boss, but I enjoyed it.
Let's go to James in Levittown. James?
What's going on, guys? First time, long time. Great to finally talk to you guys. Hey, I just wanted to talk about, listen, I think the Mets, like, I think we have to blow it up with this core. I mean, this team has really just been hurting ever since that Padres series, ever since really that Braves series where they just had everything in front of them and needed to win one game.
All right, James, let me stop you for a moment. Who did they get rid of?
Yeah, who are you blowing up?
You trading Lindor? Impossible. Who else?
I mean, you could start with McNeil.
You could move him probably, yeah.
You would have to try and move Nimmo.
But you think that Nimmo is a problem?
I don't think that Nimmo is a problem. I just don't think that he's a part of the core that's been here for a while. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think they have it to win.
Well, they don't have it this year. They don't intend to have it this year.
Well, they're trying to get it. That's why I find it interesting blowing it up. This is not what they're still working. It's almost like you've got the frame of a house and saying, oh, let's just blow it up. Let's scrap it. Let's start again. You know, Pete Alonso may stay. He may go. We'll see what they ultimately determine whether they want him or not, because they clearly have the money to keep him. But they're going to spend this offseason redoing this team. I mean, they're in the process of getting this done. But
all right, James, you think Alonso is part of the problem, or you want to bring him back?
No, that's a guy that I think means too much to the organization to blow up and get rid of. I think, like, you're risking alienating the fan base by getting rid of somebody like
you
that.
You better brace yourself, man, because it's a distinct possibility that he's going to go.
I'm fully prepared for it, but if he has to go, he has to.
Well, one thing I would tell you, James, you sound like a rational fan. They're not built to win this year.
Right.
No.
So, I mean, don't expect to win.
No, not at all. It's just, you know, you look at the payroll and you look at how much money that's being spent on it for the amount of production. Right. And I know that they've really got themselves into some really terrible contracts. I just think that, you know, when you're spending all this money and just the production just isn't there from a lot of guys.
Well, the blow-up happened last year when they got rid of the two pitchers, Verlander and Scherzer. That's when they began to dismantle things and allowing Pete Alonso to possibly leave via free agency. The question is, do you trust Stearns? If you trust Stearns, then you trust that he's going to do the right thing with Pete Alonso for the team. I think it's a cold-blooded business, Michael. I don't think they're going to look at how the fan base feels about it, that he's a forever Met. If they let Pete go, what they're telling you is, we think we can do better. Now, ultimately, we'll see if he's right or not, but it's not going to be because they're cheap. It's not going to be because they don't have the money. It'll be because we think we can do better.
Well, I mean, let's look at this team. All right, so after this year, McNeil has two more years. So he's eminently movable. Then you're going to make a decision on Pete. Brandon Nimmo's only in the second year of an 8-year deal that he signed.
And I'm fine. Listen, he's off to a slow start, but I'm fine with him.
Right. And Lindor has seven or eight more years
no
on
shot.
His contract.
You can't move him if you wanted to.
You have one more year on Marte, so he's probably gone after that, or they move him. Alvarez is going to be here. You don't know about Beatty. They're going to find out about him. Bader is in a 1-year contract, so he's probably one and done. Right. It's going to be a completely different team next year.
Yeah, and that was by design. I mean, that's why they didn't want to retool this team, because they had so many players that they were possibly going to move on from. So they brought in 1-year contracts because they're gonna hit the reset around anybody that's in their walk year. The question is, will they bring Pete back? And if they don't, they think they can do better. So that's why the 1-year contracts. That's why they weren't all in on this season, because of the length of the deals that they have. But the guy, when you're talking about blowing it up, Lindor you can't move. I don't think you want to move away from Nimmo. And, all right, maybe McNeil is a possibility. But that's not blowing it up, letting one guy go.
No. You guys want to blow up a team that essentially has been blown up. As Don said, it got blown up last year.
Yeah.
That's why they have the high payroll, because they're still paying Verlander and Scherzer.
Well, that's the thing. It's not that they're paying guys that are underachieving. They're paying guys that aren't on the team anymore.
Yeah, they're not there. They bought minor league players. That's what they did. So just look at it that way. Don't look at it as wasted money. They bought Acuna. Mm-hmm. They bought all those guys that they got in those trades.
Mm-hmm.
Empire Outlets on Staten Island is the place to be this spring season for your ultimate shop and dine experience. Empire Outlets is located steps from the Staten Island Ferry, easily accessible to all New York City and New Jersey residents. Shop outlets like Nike Factory, Levi's Outlet, Banana Republic Factory, Guess Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Gap Factory, Nordstrom Rack, and more. Now you can dine at restaurants including Shake Shack, Bake Culture, and Hazel's 423 Food Truck. Visit EmpireOutlets.nyc and follow on Instagram at Empire Outlets to learn more about what Empire Outlets is offering. Well, I told you that my home needed a refresh. I told you that. So I chose the painting professionals at Serta Pro Painters. They're working now, and Serta Pro Painters treats my home with as much care as I would if I was doing the painting. They have protected my floors and the carpeting on my staircase. Everything is clean and really handled with incredible care, including the scaffolding that they needed to use to reach everything higher up on the ceiling. Now, the precision and attention to detail as they paint every spindle of the staircase, it's exceptional. Actually, it's kind of inspiring to watch it. They're real artists. They take pride in what they do, and you could trust them to get the job done right. Now's the time to do the home painting project that you've been putting off. Why wait? From now through April 30th, Serta Pro Painters is running its spring sales event. Special offers are available at participating locations. Each Serta Pro Painters business is independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They are a local business you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at SertaPro.com. That's Serta with a C. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose Serta Pro Painters.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Bang! Bang! The point guard.
You have made no good point, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
So he needs to be careful because you don't want to come off like you're trolling. So this cut comes out about him saying that he'd be amenable to talking about a contract. Then he's got the custom-made spikes. His walk-up song is Empire State of Mind. Don't tease the fans. Are you in or you out? Like you start doing things like that and then you re-sign, well, then it's great. But now, because fans read into this stuff, and then if you turn around and you still go to the highest bidder and you don't come back, it's going to come across like you were trolling. So I think he believes, hey, I'm here, guys, I'm all in. But he also has to realize by doing that stuff, you're kind of intimating to people that you want to stay. And then if you don't, they're going to feel betrayed.
All right, who won this week? Because I didn't work Wednesday because I had the game. I think I had one, so I couldn't have won.
And then Richard had one.
That would be the callers / guests. Passon and Richard got two, and everybody else got one.
Oh,
wow.
That's
not what you
way,
want,
Michael,
Peter.
Michael, you'll be happy. You'll be happy to hear that JJ supposedly had a memorably bad call today.
JJ?
Yeah. Hit or miss.
Oh, he's not hit or miss. He's usually hit. No, he's usually miss. I'd say he's 80-20 awful.
Oh,
he was not good today.
He's always bad.
And Rich,
I mean, very rarely does he have a real strong point.
And I gambled on a 3 o'clock hour Richard call as well.
You really? A three Richard?
Yeah.
How did that work out?
What's your guess?
I think it's too early for him.
It was too early. And by the way, and I don't know, Don, with the call that he made, there may have been no time that would have worked.
Did we get any Danny from Long Island today?
Yes.
So he's calling now when I'm not on.
Well, he said he just loves Yankee Day games now.
Interesting. Well, he lost one on Monday, though. It's going to be a 2 o'clock start. They've moved it to 6 now because of the eclipse.
Yeah, how about that? Listen, I'm not one to pick on the Yankees, Michael. They usually do everything very professional. That they dropped the ball.
We suck.
Well, I don't know who changed it, though. It could have been Major League Baseball. But I thought that the reason they started it was because of the eclipse. Started it, too. So the game could be during the eclipse.
But
that would have been unbelievable.
What is the eclipse?
The eclipse
takes like 2 hours, Michael. What do you want? You want people looking up in the sun during eclipse? I mean, that would be ridiculous.
No, it doesn't take 2 hours. Really?
Well, what kind of eclipse is this? Like, what are we even getting here?
Well, this is not the it's not the perfect line with it. I mean, Cleveland is.
The eclipse isn't. What do you want? It's not going to be a lunar eclipse.
I mean, what are we seeing? I mean, I don't know.
We're seeing the moon cross across the sun.
Hopefully, right. You're seeing
it get
nothing.
Really dark and don't look up at the sun.
But you can't look up in the sun. So how are you supposed to play a baseball game? And then there's a pop up. What are you?
But I don't believe it takes as long as you say.
I thought it took a pretty long while. I mean, so you're going to delay? You can't play the game during the eclipse because you're not supposed to look up into the sun unless they're all going to wear those yo-yo glasses.
And that's, by the way, if you want to order them from Amazon, it's yo-yo glasses.
You just look up yo-yo glasses.
Yeah,
by
yo-yo
the way,
glasses.
We talk a lot of things well on this show. One of them is definitely the eclipses. We know our stuff. You can tell.
Let's go to Leo in Belmore. Leo.
What's going on, guys? Good afternoon.
Same to you.
One thing that gets, it gets me so red hot, Yankee jerseys, and you guys missed an opportunity with that gentleman who called in complaining about the $15 insurance patches. I bet you he's still the guy that buys the Yankee jersey with the name on it, and then he's going to complain about an insurance patch. Dollars to donuts, he's got a name on the back of his jersey.
Well, listen, I didn't ask because I would just assume he didn't. Because if you care about the authenticity, then what are we doing?
Yeah, we didn't want to. But you bring up a good point, Leo.
But you assume he doesn't. Now, I love the Yankees. I'm big. Love them. Never get a jersey with the name on it. You know, before the game, they have the camera from the floor. They're following people into the stadium with the brand new 22 jersey with Soto on it.
Yep, I know.
The majority of fans, even the guys that are huge fans, that call themselves huge fans, they have a name on the jersey. I don't know why it's even being sold. It's like, Donnie, it's like having a fisherman jersey with freaking Brian Trottier on the back of it. Yeah, it doesn't exist. It shouldn't be sold.
Well, you know, I don't know how long you've been listening to the show. I've been on this since day one.
But, Don, I think you're winning. I'm going to tell you why. I was thinking about you today. So when I stand up in the broadcast booth, I can see the second level. And, you know, there's a lot of people down there, right? So I'd say within my eye footprint, there are probably 150 people wearing Yankee jerseys.
Morons.
And I see the back. And I'd say today, 110 of them didn't have names on the back. I think you're making a difference, Don.
And listen, it's not my team, but I respect the hell out of them. And you're a fan, and you're paying good money even for the replicas. Let's be honest. It may not be authentic. And you can get a replica without the name on the back or just go without. I mean, you're the one team that makes it all about not having your name on the back. Why would you want to walk around with a name on the back?
The only place now that I disagree with Don, because we've gone back and forth on this issue for years, is where I place the blame. I place the blame squarely on the Yankees.
You can't.
I have to. They just don't have to sell it that way. They don't. If they cared about it half as much as Don did, they wouldn't sell
Don. But why are you blaming the Yankees? If you go to the MLB store on 6th Avenue, they have Yankee jerseys with names on it.
But the Yankees could put a stop to it.
Yankees.
But to disagree with Peter, I mean, they don't think it's a big deal because they probably make more money. I mean, they can't.
But that's them. That's their fault then.
If their fans want to be yo-yos, I mean, what are they supposed to do?
No one should care about it more than the team itself.
Don did.
I'm sorry.
Now, I'm going to tell you something that really upset me. I haven't even brought it up.
Interesting.
Saturday, the game's on Fox. I mean, Fox is the national carrier of the World Series,
on
right?
TV. Sure.
So they have the Yankees against the Astros. So didn't do that game. So I was watching the telecast very closely. And they rolled out of a break with Aaron Judge coming up next. And the back, it was number 99. And the uniform had the name Judge on it. This is Fox. Why would you do that?
No one cares but a handful of people.
You have to care because part of being in love with a certain sport is knowing the peculiarities of it. The Yankees don't have their names on the back.
What I'm saying is I'm not saying nobody cares that no fans don't care. I'm saying the people who matter the most, the decision makers, Major League Baseball, Fox, the Yankees, they don't care. They want money.
Fox just had a bad day.
They dropped the ball.
Fox should know better, no question. But as far as the Yankees, Peter, is that all right? They probably agree with me, but are they going to pay for the privilege? Because they've got fans who want to pay for it, so they're just
supply and demand, right?
But I don't blame the Yankees. I mean, why would the fans buy a Yankee uniform with a name on the back?
I don't understand how you blame the people if they refuse to put it out. If they only sold jerseys the proper way.
So you're blaming the drug dealer, not the people that buy the drugs.
Yes, I'm blaming the people who are making it available. Just don't ever tell them it's there. Then they won't ever do it. But they don't care, and they know that people like it. They know that they're playing to the layman who wants the name.
Who would want the name?
Like,
why don't you blame the people that would want the name?
Because those people are casuals, and they want their money. Hardcore fans know.
So don't blame the Yankees. They're making a business decision. I just don't understand why
but
these
they
fans.
Call them, but it's a sell. If it's something that hardcore people care about, then that's a sellout business decision.
But there are casuals. You're right. There are a lot of people that don't get it. And if you don't get it, I'm not going to get mad at you. But if you claim to be a diehard Yankee fan and know the history, can rattle off all the numbers, if you're walking around with a name on the back, I've got to question your intelligence. I'm sorry. If you're a casual fan, do what you want. If you don't care, you don't care. But if you actually care enough to know everything about the Yankees, cry in your pillow when they lose, can rattle off every stat that ever existed, you are a functional moron if you put the name on the back.
I was, you know, of the 110 out of 150, there was one down there, three, Ruth. And I got to be honest with you, I threw up a little bit in my mouth.
No,
I don't know why that bothers me the most. Three, Ruth. Who else would it be?
Anthony, we had to make a drop of what Don said earlier, though, right?
I wonder if we're having an aftershock right here.
Seriously?
Yeah. This whole trailer is shaking right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Possible that Rothenberg's visiting you.
Wow, it is moving. Now it stopped.
It could have been.
Really?
No, they could be.
Yeah,
could
Greek
be
says they got it also.
Wow, that was weird. That I felt.
There could be
aftershocks,
they said, for a couple of weeks after.
Well, I don't like this.
But they're all going to be way less than the original.
How do you know? What are you, some expert?
Because I was watching the news today. I got to tell you, I love Channel 7. They covered it like the earth cracked in half. I mean, nothing happened. Get back to The View. But they kept it on for like 3 hours, like interviewing people, and half the people they had a woman I'd never seen her before running around asking people that they feel it, and either people didn't want to talk or nobody felt it.
I just felt it.
Well, no, that you felt it aftershock. Welcome to the party.
All right, ENN's coming up, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little clue, everybody, a little clue. Don might be happy. Don might be happy.
Oh, okay.
Because we're going down to the final two. We're in the final four today. And then the championship is Monday for Drop Madness.
So you're saying Don's in control. Oh, boy. Shotwit Wood is in trouble?
It's in trouble. So either people start voting quickly or he's going to get his way.
It'll be Don yelling versus Don yelling. We know where we're going.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.